the apostles? Nobody knows. No, it's a good question. Nobody knows who wrote it. But by the time Constantine became emperor, it was already well in use. So maybe in the 2nd century, maybe even in the 1st, we don't know. So that's why it's called the Apostles' Creed, because it preceded the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed. Anyway, they all say the same thing. They're just worded differently. And they each facing a different heresy. Each one has a different heresy to combat. Whether Jesus is God, whether he's also man, or whether he appeared to be, you know, they have to fight those heresies. Okay, so we're in chapter 1. And I want to begin. I want you to learn two words today. Doxon or doxa. Doxon or doxa. That's glory. And then another word I want you to learn, and that's aletheia. Aletheia. These are Greek words. And it has to do with glory and truth. Greek words that have to do with glory and truth. And you'll see as I read along that these two words come up frequently. So beginning at 14, the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory. And that word is doxon. And we beheld his glory. And then it says, this kind of glory, we beheld his glory. Glory as of an only begotten Son. So here, the emphasis is on the fact that Jesus, who is Son of Man, is also Son of God. Now, how that works is in glorifying, you're dealing with something that appears to be, it's an appearance. Jesus is called Son of Man because he was truly God and he was truly man. But he's the perfect God and the perfect man. So the appearance is he calls himself Son of God, and yet the reality behind that, the truth behind that, is he is actually Son of God. So the proof takes the facts that he calls himself Son of Man, and then to prove that, you have to have the fact that he is actually, truly, the Son of God. So that's the truth behind the appearance. So he just proclaimed it, I'm Son of Man. That's an appearance. And in court, if you go to court, you have to produce facts. And the facts have to be proven, but the ultimate proof is that it's true. It's a reality. Not a reality of this world. An unseen reality. So truth with a capital T is not like I agree to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what they want to do, but that's just an appearance because they could lie. They could lie, but God cannot lie. So the fact that they proclaimed him as Son of Man is just an appearance. They say he is, but there's no proof to it. So an appearance has to become truth. And so his glory is that this is the kind of glory he has. He appears to be Son of Man, but he's actually Son of God. Did you hear what I just said? So the way that glory works, doxon, is that it's always related to truth, aletheia. And that truth is appearance, then it becomes reality. Someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When is that? That's the day you see him come back a second time. He hasn't come that way now. So today he's just Son of Man. And some people say he's just a man. Others say, no, he's the Son of God. Well, we say that by faith because we haven't seen it. But when it's seen, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, I see him. All the host of heaven is with him. All the Old Testament saints, all the New Testament saints, all the saints of history, church history. That's God. That is the Son of God. And they'll know who he is. King of kings, Lord of lords. You may not know this. When Jesus was born, he was a king. He wasn't the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That was revealed by John later. But he was born a king, and kings came to see his birth. And those kings were validating, we saw his star in the east. And now we've traveled here, and the star, it ended right here in Bethlehem. And that's an odd place, because we went to the king, and he didn't know about it. He had to look it up and ask the priests, where should the Messiah be born? So the fact that someday every knee will bow, then you have the proof. The reality became visible. Today it's not. It's invisible. So it's an invisible truth. So I want to read on. And of his, we beheld his glory, glory as of an only begotten Son. Begotten doesn't mean that's when he became flesh, took on flesh. Begotten means the Father sent him from heaven on a certain day, this day, and it's a certain day, and that's the day he was born, which ended the 4,000th year on earth. It ended the 4,000th year on earth. In other words, he had already passed the midpoint, which is 3,500 years when Daniel was alive. And now, it's always going to be, after that, the last days. And Daniel prophesies about those last days. So you read in the book, the details are in the book of Revelation, but some details are in Daniel. And unless you read those details, especially in chapter 7 and chapter 9, if you read those passages, you'll see that he's talking about the first coming and the second coming. So he knew that this one who becomes Son of Man, kind of a model for all of us to follow, let us be like Jesus. Let us have the capacity, let us have the image restored, and let us have the capacity restored because Adam and Eve did not believe. And because they doubted God, they went ahead and listened to the devil. And so the devil tempted them and they fell. And so this whole thing is describing en arche en hologos prostontheon. In the beginning was the word, logos. And that word was in the presence of God. He was standing in, you cannot be unholy if you're in the presence of God. You'll be struck dead. So no man has ever seen God. Never. But now we do see him spiritually. But we don't see him. We only go by the word. God wants the bare word, nothing added to it. The bare word to be the foundation. So we have faith in his word and we trust in his person. We have faith in his word and we trust in his person. So if you have faith in his word without seeing, faith in his word means you don't see it. You can't see Jesus. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Father. You can't see anything that is real, that is actually so real, so true, and it hasn't yet shown up until that day when he comes back again the second time. Then you'll see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear. You cannot see your new self. He only said it in the Word. And you rely on the Word, and that he counts as righteous. Because you believe I'm good and not yourself, I count that as righteous. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that what? Forgives the ungodly. He pardons the ungodly. To him it is accounted as righteousness. Romans 4:5. So Jesus wants you to know, wants all of us to know, that Jesus really is Son of God, even though he's on the earth. And he doesn't change it. When he goes to heaven, he'll still be Son of Man and Son of God, because he's the true picture for every man. Every man that comes into this world can only be renewed by one name, that name which is above all names. So that name which is above all names, we give praise to him today because we trust in his word, and we haven't seen it yet. You have not seen it yet. So we're believing something that's unbelievable. Reason can't understand it. It can't comprehend it. It can't apprehend it. It cannot figure it out. Emotions can't help you. Your will won't help you. Not my will, but thine be done. Take every thought captive to the word of God. And ultimately, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Now you have your emotions and your mind, they've been renewed, and your will. The will is the governing part, not the mind. The Greeks believed it was the mind. They're wrong. And so as smart as they can be, they're actually complete fools. They're completely fools because they believe something in vain. It's not true. The whole world today is under a law of God, except us. We're not under a law of God because we believe God does everything for us. He created us. He's now justified us. Then he will sanctify us. Then he will glorify us. Then he will marry us. Then we will wear the crown, the prize. And then we will have eternal life forever and ever, world without end. So all of those things will take place, even though you don't see them now. All you have is this bare word. This you can see. You can't see God, but you can see his word. The only thing he left us then is this written word of God. It is written. It is written. So this written word is all you have, and it's all you want, and it's all you need. But later, you will see what you believed in. The truth will set you free. Why? Because it's the glory of God. Doxa. It's the glory of God to tell you the truth that'll set you free. So Christianity is built on truth. It's built on something you cannot see today, with a capital T. But I live by that capital T right now. Even though I don't see it, I believe it's more real than anything on this earth. More real. Now, let us read on. Verse 15. John, full of grace. Let's see. John witnesses concerning him. This is his witness. And has cried out, saying, This one was he of whom I said, he is coming after me, but he has been before me. In other words, his dignity is that he's born 6 months after I was born on earth. But the reality is, he's actually before me. And so John was saying, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm not any of the things you want me to say or hope I'll say. I'm none of those. So let's read on. For he has preceded me. So even though Jesus was born after John, he actually preceded him. Because he's son of God. Because he's son of God, he precedes him. He's son of man only recently, 6 months after I was born. But he's son of God. Now, you don't have to believe it. You just read it. And the reading of it tells you after a while, that's true. That's true. You didn't make yourself believe it. You just read it. Faith cometh by hearing, not by believing. It comes by hearing, and that's how you believe. You heard it? Then suddenly, one day, you believe it. And it changes your life, not just in time. It changes your life forever. And not many people have that. I'm just telling you, most Christians are just believing in what they see. They're psychologically determined. They're totally determined by their will, their mind, their emotions. And, I don't know if I believe that. That's the way they talk. So they don't know anything. They don't know anything. So someone that relies on their mind, the mind is limited by God's truth. The mind is limited by God's truth. The emotions are limited by God's glory, truth. And also the emotions, limited. But we know what to do. We read the Word, Old Testament, New Testament. You cannot just read the New Testament. You have to also read the Old Testament, because the types and the shadows are in the Old Testament, but the antitypes are in the New Testament. That is where you're actually looking at the reality, because he said he was, but you can't prove it. You just look at him and say, I don't think he's God. I believe there is a God maybe, but I just don't think Jesus is God. People argue that way. The Jewish people argue that way. Even though the church today might be lukewarm, that's because they're just soulish. They're in their soul. And so they're lukewarm because they mix two things together, spirit and flesh. They just leave them together. So your soul is yourself. Your soul is who you are as a person. And so, but your essence is actually from heaven. Your essence, your existence is given to you, but you have to choose your essence. I believe this word of God, therefore I believe that I'll never be afraid of the law. I'll never be afraid that I haven't been pardoned. I'll never be afraid that other people, all other people, not just other people, all other people, they go by their emotions. They go by their mind. They go by their will. And so that's forbidden to you according to the Bible. So I believe the Bible. And since I do, it's not because I'm ignorant and I'm naive and I'm gullible. It's that a supernatural thing happened in my life that changed me in an instant. And I suddenly was born again. I didn't have to wait. But I realized, and I said these words to myself even when it happened, I know that I know that I know. And what that meant, I already knew it prior to that, but I didn't know that I knew that. But then I said, I know that I know that I know. I said that to myself. No one was in the hallway with me when I said it, but I knew this was real. There is a God, Jesus is his son, and it's my life to the death. I thought physical death, but I now realize it's psychological death. That's the real death for us, because our souls still run everybody's life, including Christians, but not mine. I don't even think like that. I don't even use the words that they use. I have these words right here. So I try to avoid all words that are not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's speculation. I'm not going to say it. Well, how do you know he's saved? I don't know. All I know is I have faith that he is. And so when we die, we say these kind of words. Not like I hope he makes it to heaven. We say, by the sure and certain hope, you know, our brother is with God. Well, because we knew him. But otherwise, you can't say that. So when at my funeral, they'll have to play, and when the saints, I mean, it's going to be joyous, not a funeral dirge. It won't be sad music. Out of the depths I've cried unto thee, and so on and so forth. All of that, I know those scriptures. But it's not in our case, because we're Christians. We're a new creation. And so you're no longer you. Say that, I'm no longer me.
I'm no longer me.
So you're not you anymore. You used to be you, but now you have died because you believe these words, that you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, you're the dwelling place of the living God. You are actually the temple of God, the tent of God, the housing of God, the dwelling place of God. Wow, I believe that. Since I do, the Bible has become a description of me, a new man in Christ. A new man in Christ. So that description doesn't tell me what I look like now. It tells me who I will be someday in the future. So in the future, I will actually look like what I believe today. What I believe today, I can't see it. But someday I'll see it. When Jesus comes back. As soon as he comes back, I will actually feel like a Christian, understand with no mysteries hidden. And I do it by faith now, but that day I won't. I won't do it by faith. I'll see him with my own eyes. Because it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. King of kings, Lord of lords. No one has ever seen him that way. No one has ever seen him. When you looked at Son of Man, you said, I think he's the Son of God. But you didn't see it. But someday, what you believe today, you'll see tomorrow. Someday. And that could be in your lifetime. I'm saying that not because I know. I'm saying that because it could be, because I don't know the day or the hour, but I know one thing, we're in the last days. We're really close to it. So now there's a whole millennium that we have yet during time, and after that there'll be the great white throne judgment and so on and so forth, all during time. So time hasn't ended yet. But for me, time is already over. The time has already over. Even the millennium. I'm living in the millennium by faith. And so I'm living eschatologically, meaning I work backward from who he says I am now, descriptively. It is written. I live backward from that and say, if that's who I am, then I love my wife. I love my children. I love enemies. I love everybody. And I don't have to think about that. I don't think about that. I just know it's true. So that way I treat people then without hostility and so on and so forth. And even if I feel it, I ignore the feeling. Even if I think, I don't think that guy likes you, I'll ignore it. I will not think ill of my neighbor. I could, but I refuse it. And so he is renewing my mind every day, but someday I'll see it. But I'm patient. I'm, and so I'm not anxious about seeing it today. I don't want to see it today. I'm not even interested in seeing it today. If he did show up, praise God. But he's not. I can just tell you right now, we have a lot of time during time that civilization has not come to an end. And when it does, it'll be glorious. Now, I said something that no one can prove. I just said it in faith. I believe civilization will be good for the Jews and good for the Gentiles and good for all of us who are the part of the new creation. So it's not going to end with an explosion. The Big Bang theory, how it originated and how it'll end. It won't end that way. It will end exactly the way Jesus said it is in this book. And so reading this book, I'm confident that what people say is pure speculation. What if they poison the water? And what if they do this? I don't have any of those fears. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fourth chapter, 18th verse, 1 John. If perfect love casts out all fear, I don't have any. Even if I felt it, I would ignore it. Even if I thought I did, I would ignore that. Even if I wanted it to be that way, I'll ignore that. Because I'm no longer psychologically determined. I'm now Word of God determined. This Word of God is my food. This is my drink. This is my reality. So, doxa is the glory of God, like doxology. So, the doxology is what you've done. What you in this world, what God is doing, did you know that you have glory right now? And then he's going to lead you to more glory, from glory to glory. We'll read about that in a second. And then he's going to lead you to a future glory where you're glorified. And so you have future glory, present glory, past glory. Past glory is when he died, and that affected me. But now I'm being renewed every day. And then someday I'll have the full glory when Jesus comes back and we start the new heaven and the new earth. After the devil has been dispatched, after Satan is in the lake of fire along with the Antichrist. And so all of these things that have been prophesied in the scripture are real to me. Nothing is just an appearance. Though it appears to my naked eye, yes, it's an appearance. But I don't count that. And so I have faith now that I never had before. I never had any faith in God, even though I knew there was a God. I didn't honor him as God. Today, I honor him as total God. Now, first chapter, John, verse 16. And out of his fullness, we have all received grace on top of grace, or instead of. In other words, you have one grace, and then you'll have another grace. You're justified today by faith. But then you'll have another one where you're sanctified in the Spirit, and then you'll have another one where he's perfecting you in love. Those graces upon grace is what he's talking about. There is grace, and then there's grace, and then there's grace. Past grace is, I believe Jesus died for me. That settles it for me. I don't need any more. I don't need a rhema. I get them, but I don't need them. But when I get them, praise God. But I already believe, just based on the word, it is written. That's how you defeat the devil. You don't defeat him by fasting and prayer and what other things. You defeat him by beholding him, Jesus Christ, not beholding the devil. I'll take him on. I would not take on the devil. No flesh can conquer the devil until Jesus comes back again. And now as a believer, you can just say, be gone. You have the power to tell the enemy, get out. You're a liar. You have not told the truth. There's no glory in what you say. here's the truth of the Word of God. He'll leave you immediately. When you start quoting the Bible, you start praising God, He will leave you immediately. That's why our prayers are so important, and that's why our praise is so powerful to God, because He dwells in those praises. He loves praising. Thank Him, praise Him, adore Him, worship Him. The devil can't stand it. Like, I don't want to hear the Bible. Because the devil is a liar from the beginning of the world. He's always been a liar, and he will always be a liar. And he's not going to convert, by the way. It's like, well, if we really pray for him, maybe he'll make it. No. It's permanent. So not only is it permanent, pretty soon it'll be permanent for all mankind, where they're going to end up, where their destiny is. Mine is going to be with Jesus in heaven. The mid-heavens upstairs, not the highest heaven, the third heaven, not the lowest heaven, the atmosphere you see today, but it's high above the atmospheres, the stratospheres, the ionosphere, and all those kind of things. And the devil once inhabited the mid-heavens. That's how he stopped the prayers that Daniel had prayed. He stopped them. He held on to them. But then the Jewish archangel, this one made it go ahead. So they wrestled with each other, and Michael won. So the archangels are stronger. Two-thirds of them are good. Only one-third defected. Only one-third were infected, and they can't be uninfected because they're smart. They're a lot smarter than you are, and they can outsmart you any day. That's why don't be psychological. Psychology is witchcraft. I'm going to say it again because you might not understand my bluntness. Psychology is witchcraft. You can read it. You can read the witchcraft. It's right there in the third chapter of Galatians, verse 1. Why did you begin in the spirit, but now you're ending in the flesh? Who has bewitched you? Witchcraft. I'm just telling you, everyone that's psychological. You know, when I went to school, psychology was not a science. When I went to school, it just became, the minute I entered seminary, the minute I entered college, they introduced new subjects called sociology for the group, a false church, and psychology, as those were sciences. They're not science at all. They're false sciences built on, you know, graphs and pictures and so on. They're just nonsense, just like Darwinism is, and like all the other philosophies and ideologies of this world. And I know them. I not only know them by reading them, I know them. I know them experientially because I went to all those schools and I learned all that. And I realized I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. And so something inside of me always wanted to know the truth. I don't know, because I grew up pagan. But I always wanted to know the truth. What is the truth about life? What is life really? And I knew, God, I don't even believe in you, so I can't ask you. But if you are there, could you tell me? You're supposed to be a guy that tells truth. Okay, do it. But then one day he did. And boom, that truth set me free forever. That truth that I realized, this is the end of all psychological witchcraft. Period. Did you understand what I say? I'll bet not another anywhere in this whole United States believes that. I don't really care. I'm just saying, they all believe you should be moral. They all believe you should behave yourself. I'm going to tell you something. Psalm 39 verse 5 says this: man at his best state, that is when you're nice, when you behave yourself, when you're religious, Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Vanity means nothing. It means you are nothing. So when you believe that if you're moral and nice, and how many of you have tried and failed? I don't care what you do. When you say, well, I've been really good today, you're just talking about behavior. You're not talking about what's really going on inside of you. You don't even know who you are, except this Bible was written to say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the third chapter, verse 21 following. That third chapter says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, doxan, in the Greek text. So doxan is glory, and it always leads to truth, which is not an appearance. It's the reality inside the appearance. Jesus said, I'm Son of Man, but he actually was Son of God. And he asked his disciples someday, well, who do men say that I am? Oh, some say this, some say that, some say this. But nobody knows. They're just guessing. But he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter blurted it out. Thou art the Son of the living God. He knew who he was. He saw through the appearance, Son of Man, and said, you're not just a good man, you are God himself. He discovered that. I'm going to read about that today, right here. So this is John the Baptist. For the law came through Moses. For the law came through Moses. In other words, it was given to him by God on Mount Sinai. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is karatos in the Greek language, like our older daughter, kara. It's totally grace. And your daughter, also David and Janet, is called grace, karatos. It means that they are happy. By the way, what that means is loving kindness. It's something gracious of God to be a gracious God toward you, because he said he is. That's an appearance written in the Word. It's only an appearance. You have to prove it, but someday you'll see it. But I already believe now. I know that I know that I know that there is a God, and Jesus is his name, and I talk to him all the time, and I hear him. Now, you can too. All you have to do is read the book until the faith is built up in you. You have to read Old and New Testament and keep reading until it becomes your life, and you become what you're eating. In this case, eating of the tree of life. And so I eat daily of the tree of life. Communion for me is just eating of the tree of life. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Communion, fellowship with God. That means I'm in fellowship with God, and I want to be in fellowship with anybody else who has fellowship with God. Right? And I'm amazed that all over the world there are people that believe in God. I don't care how much the stock is up on Buddha or Hinduism or Muslim or Catholic or whatever, Jewish. I mean, their stock looks better than ours. But I tell you what, ours is on the top. What, one plus God is a majority. Did you hear what I said? One plus God, you're a majority. You got God on your side? Who? Who can defeat you? Nobody. Once God is for you, and he says so in the book. He says, I'm for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. The answer is in the question, in the Greek. In English, it's not. But in the Greek, it is. It actually answers it, no one. So now, since God loves me unconditionally, no conditions, wow, I could take advantage of him and sin. But I don't want to. It's just a decision that I made based on my faith. I don't think that's a description of me. I think the description of me is you're a saint. And so he sees me as a saint even though I just sinned. How many know you can be a saint even though you just sinned? Well, that's normal. That is normal. All Christians sin. Dan, you actually sinned. But the Bible doesn't call you a sinner. It calls you a saint because you believe that Jesus is good and that he'll keep his promise and he'll be faithful to keep his promise. I believe that. You believe that. That is a rock that no one can move because it's a rock and Jesus is the rock of your salvation. Jesus is the something you can rely upon. I totally rely upon whatever God has said in the Bible. That's why I have faith and I practice it. I don't have to, I want to. I practice it as though I were his slave. So he set me free because I believed in him. Now he bound me to do it, but it's voluntary on my part. I want to be a slave. I want to be a slave of everybody, and I want to love them. So I bound myself because he said, that's who you are, a lover of humanity. So I love everybody. Even people hate me, I love them. I don't think that they're wrong in hating me. They're just judging by what they see. But you can't judge by what you see. You have to say what God sees. I always go by God's word. So God's word triumphs over everything in this world. Everything that I need to know is all here. I know everything about everything that I want to know. Everything else that's secret, God has that. He'll reveal it to me as soon as he comes back. But I'm not anxious about it. I don't try to know things that I don't know. Leave it. I just know one thing. He loves me. Unconditionally. Right? So everybody here could say amen.
Amen.
He loves you unconditionally. You don't have to prove anything. He just loves you. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. Well, that's an interesting passage. No one has ever seen God. Ever. Now, it's going to go on and make an exception to that. Here it is. No one has ever seen God. Okay? At any time. Then it says this. Colon. Semicolon. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. So I believe that one is real to me. It's not real for everybody, but it's real for me. It's not just a ritual. It's not just a theology that I'm following words. I actually believe that. That Jesus Christ loves me personally, and I can talk to him as my best friend. And I can talk to him as my beloved. Because he calls me his beloved, I also, you know, can say anything I want to him. And I can confess any sins that I've that he has shown me, I just confess it. The Holy Spirit is alive, he's active, and he can point out my sins every day. I'm not bothered by them at all because I know I can't do anything about them. Jesus, you'll have to take care of that one. And I let Jesus do it all, and all I have for him is thank you. I praise you. I love you. That's all. That's all I can do. And I'm happy with that because I'm passive, totally passive. Someday I'll see it, but I don't today. But I just believe what he said is true. Now, no one has seen God at any time. So I'm skeptical of stories that say I went to heaven and I saw the streets were golden. I'm skeptical of all those things. Not because I know or don't know. It's that he didn't say anything except those words. So I can't go beyond that. I don't care if they went to heaven or they didn't go to heaven. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying it is true. I just don't care. Because I haven't. So By the way, I've seen God spiritually, and I could tell you about it. It's not interesting to me, to you, but for me, I actually saw God. And so it's like, wow. But it's not visible, not to these eyes. I saw him in the spirit, and I knew it. But I don't build anything on it. I don't even care about it. All I care about is what's written. Right? So Paul said the same thing in the Bible. He said, I have many revelations, but I'm not even going to tell you about them, because I just want to tell you what's in the Word. Everything you need is in this Word. You don't need to have an experience with God. No, it's nothing. It's just, it's a bookmark. So it's just so I don't mess up quoting something. And this is the foundation. This is the witness of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem that they might ask him, who are you? And he acknowledged and did not deny. He acknowledged, I am not the Christ. Yes, he acknowledged. Who are you? And now he's answering. He didn't deny it. He just answered. And they said, I am not the Christ. In other words, that's your question. You're not questioning who I am. You're questioning whether I'm the Christ. I know what you're asking. I'm not the Christ. How many here can say, I'm not the Christ? Yeah. Everybody. That's a Christian. That's who you are. You are not God. You are not the Christ. You're not the Savior of the world. And you don't need to save it. In case every one of you, because people come up all the time and they say things, I just want to serve God. Well, I don't know if you mean by that you're going to do it in the flesh for him, or he's going to do it in the spirit for you. Because if you do it and he hasn't said it, you just did something vain, empty, worthless. So don't do it unless God tells you to marry that person, or unless God tells you to wait, or unless God tells you something. Just wait on God. Why? Because he's faithful. If you make a mistake, he'll forgive it. But don't take it so seriously that you have to know everything about everything. You don't. All you have is this. This is the secrets. All the secrets are not revealed. Some of them. As a matter of fact, I would say the majority of prophecies have not yet been fulfilled. Now, the only ones that count are that you're now born again, and you're now filled with the Spirit daily, and you're now led of the Spirit. Okay, that's powerful. But there's so much more. Have you ever ridden on a cloud going all the way to heaven? Well, I'd say that was some, that'd be a little paradigm shift for us. How do you signal? You know, we don't know anything about riding on a cloud. But someday you will ride on a cloud and go to heaven. Anyway, all the things that are ahead are so magnificent, so glorious. Our future glory is much more than what you know now. But it's enough to get you saved. It's enough to get him to sanctify you and to begin to perfect you. But you're not yet perfect. You're not yet. So John said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Jesus the Messiah. He is. Next verse, they said. And they asked him, well, what then? Are you Elijah? Because he had prophesied about that. Elijah has come. Are you Elijah? Is that who you are? I thought he was going to come and be kind of a signal or something like that. Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Very clear. I like it. Yes be yes, no be no. Are you the prophet? Talking about Isaiah. And he answered, no. I like how he has brief answers. This is like, you know, you're before the priests and Levites and so on and so forth, and they're asking you questions, and they know the scriptures. And so just let your yes be yes and no be no. Don't say more than you know. Don't add in. Don't say, well, this is what I think. What you think doesn't count. What you feel doesn't count. What you want doesn't count. Well, I want to have a farm in the country. I used to want that. I want to have my pastorate here in the city, but then have a farm at least 50 miles out. And I used to look for land up in Bowie and different places that matched what I looked at lots of land. And I wanted to live on a farm where I could grow stuff, not be buying gluten. I didn't want all those preservatives and so on and so forth. I wanted to grow my own. And I studied this for years and years and years to know how to grow anything, anywhere, at any time. How to raise animals, etc. I knew how bees, how much pollen they picked up. I knew everything about everything. It's exaggerating, but I did. And if this fails, then you do this. And if that fails, then you do this. And I had it all down. In fact, I designed a farm of 50,000 acres that would grow everything you need to feed 100,000 people in a city. And I introduced it to a president of a country, and he said, I want that. If you want what you want, give me this, and I'll be satisfied. And I said, okay, only one proviso. If you ever betray and do something wrong, I will withdraw. He did, and I did. So that country now is in trouble, and they'll stay that way because he was too big for his britches. In other words, he thought he had an 85% vote in his favor, but he blew it up by being naughty. And because of that, he lost the presidency. And so I've learned, don't trust people. I mean, no, it's in the Bible. Never trust people. Who can you trust? Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. That's what he's saying. Don't trust princes. Don't kings and princes and whoever. Don't trust them. Just trust the Lord. Amen? Will you get in trouble? Sure. You can get in trouble all the time. I did yesterday. I like getting in trouble. It doesn't bother me at all because God always will deliver me. And if he doesn't, that's all right. He'll make up for it later. Now, well, then who are you? And they asked him, well, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not. Are you a prophet? No, I'm not. No. They then said to him, well, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Make the way of the Lord straight. As Isaiah the prophet has said, whom he said he's not. And those who have been sent were of the Pharisees. And so they asked him and said to him, well, then why do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but one stands in your midst right now, whom you do not know. He it is who comes after me, who has been before me. In other words, even though he's born after me, he's actually older than I am, more ancient, of whom I am not worthy that I should even untie the latchet on his sandal. These things took place in Beth Arba before the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, if any of you went on my last trip, or maybe the last two trips, we always go to this very spot. It's not the traditional spot. This is right outside, opposite to Moab in the east. This one is where they crossed over the Jordan when they entered the land. This is exactly the spot. And right above that spot, someone very knowledgeable has told me, that's the mountain where he was transfigured, and Moses and Elijah were there, right across the street. I know exactly where it is. And it said, this is where they came into the land, and there's deep water there. The other place is shallower. It's just when it comes out of the Sea of Galilee, it's shallower there. But this one is not. And then it leads right into the Dead Sea. It's dried up now. I mean, the water is still there, but I mean, it no longer keeps flowing. Because it's... By the way, I was in Jerusalem a long, 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 long time ago, about the time of our 200th anniversary as Americans, Mac was that very year. And I went with over 1,000 people. I think it's probably, I don't know that anyone else has had a bigger crowd than that. But this one's a big one. And we had 36 buses. And we would travel the whole of Israel. The water has, since that time, because they have a mark right on the rock, 75 feet below. So now the water is shallow. The water is shallow because of that. And now they mine and get minerals out of that water, which makes them still very, very wealthy. So they have incredible minerals in that Dead Sea because of that. So the water no longer flows like it used to flow. It used to just keep flowing. But then it ended at the Dead Sea. And so the Dead Sea is still there, but now it's shallow. I'm sorry, I lost my way here. Okay, so these things took place in Bethabara before the Jordan where John was baptizing. And... let's see, 248, 249. I can't turn the page. Does anyone have it?
249.
Yeah.
The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Keep going.
"This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water." Did John?
Yeah.
And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost."
Stop. And I'm going to let, this is the last verse. "And I have seen," John is witnessing, "I have seen and witnessed that this one, Jesus, is the Son of God." So now he is now a prophet, and you don't have to believe his words, but I do. He's saying this one who calls himself Son of Man is actually Son of God. And he just names it right there. This is going to play a big role, because this book is only written for one purpose, the book of John. That's why I'm reading it. It's only written for one purpose, that you may believe that Hologos, God, Son of God, that's what he's called in heaven, the Logos of God, the Word of God, he is the Word of God. And he'll have that on his thigh when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It'll be written right on his vesture, right on him. It'll say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Son of God. So now he's identified right in the first chapter of John that Jesus is not only Son of Man, he is also Son of God. That means he's the greatest ever on earth, and he will be the emperor of the world. totally. And he's the greatest Son of God, the only Son of God, that was sent by God to show and reveal the Father. So when Jesus does something, he's actually inside, which you can't see, Son of God. But he has the form of a man. So you think he's Son of Man. But he's the great one. And even the Jews followed him around because they said, this one doesn't teach like we do. He teaches with authority. He teaches as though it's real. And for that reason, we have to kill him. Did you know that men kill people that they don't understand? You may not understand what I just said. If you can't understand somebody, rip them apart. Speak against them, because you can't understand them. And that's what people are doing to Trump and anybody else that identifies. But how many know that probably doesn't bother God at all? In other words, the fact that people don't like him doesn't mean he wasn't sent by God. And so God can do anything he wants. The devil has never won, and the devil never will win, ever. So I believe, and I have fear of God, that, you know, Trump is safe, not because of him having security all around him or whatever else. He's safe because God put him in office so he could clean out the swamp. I don't know how far I'll get, but he'll clean out a little of the brush that's there, and so on and so forth. But who knows? I'm not even interested in that. All I know is the real weight lies upon my shoulders, not somebody else like a president. Presidents are secondary. The real thing you need is to be in a church where you hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I'm not exalting myself. I'm just simply saying I don't have two agendas. I only have one, tell you the truth, one that I live. I live this thing, and you also should live and be like me, but that's up to you. And so anyone who does, you'll be blessed, because I'm happy all the time. I'm at peace all the time. I see signs and wonders and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not sharing all of that because I don't want to be noted as, you know, go there and you get the glory spout. No. Just let it be ordinary. You know, miracles are ordinary, and you can't live off of miracles. Let's say, and I've had all this, let's say God healed you. In the moment you said, I'll never forget this. But in a short while, I'm already eating cookies and I forgot all about it. All I'm trying to say is people are fickle. And so, you know, if you're in a funeral, you say the funeral and so on and so forth. But then as soon as it's over, you say, we'll never forget so and so. But in a few minutes, we're eating cookies and, you know, whatever, and you forgot about him. Hey, could you pass me the butter? And so on. And I forgot about the thing I just said was, we'll never forget you. And then we've already forgotten a few minutes later. Are you aware of that? That you are that shallow and that cheap? And then you can be Christian 1 second, and in the next second, you're the biggest pagan that ever lived. Is everyone aware of what I'm just saying? It's not related to you at all. It's a God decision. God decided long ago to love every man. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only is he the same, he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care what your rank is. He doesn't care about all the things you didn't do or did do. He died for all of that on the cross. Now he's cleansing you from all unrighteousness, and soon he's perfecting you so that men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify the Father. Because you didn't show them your works, you showed them the Father's God-wrought works. So when you do a good work, it wasn't you. Give God the glory. To God be the glory. Hope you're blessed today. We learned a lot today. Whether you know it or not, you learned a lot today that Son of Man is an appearance. but Son of God is the reality. Today you learned that there's a difference between glory and truth. The glory of God is to tell you the truth that will set you free. That's God's glory. But he doesn't want it just to be justified by faith. He also wants it to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and wants you also to be led of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit plays the major role in your life right now. You can't even see Jesus, but the Spirit is within you. You are born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. You are a spiritual person. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. God bless you all.